happy Monday, everybody. It's Bob McCowan. It's John Shannon with you on the program for today.
Robert?
You're well. You had a nice weekend, I hope.
Yes. If you're listening in Ontario, we're in a heat wave. I actually rolled over to my neighbors and stole my way into their swimming pool. It was fantastic.
Well, I'm glad you stole your way into their swimming pool as opposed to my swimming pool.
Well, they're a little closer than yours, and I need I need a passport and a time change to get to your place from my place right now.
Probably with COVID, you're not even supposed to drive this far. I'm sure there's some kind of driving limit.
Oh, listen, we're getting better, Bob. You know, Ontario's going to open up a little bit on Friday.
Yeah, you ought to be better if everybody's staying at home and doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's the whole idea now.
Stay in your backyard. But it was stinking hot, man.
It was very humid, wasn't it?
I love it. Don't you love it?
I'm not big on the humidity.
Oh, I love it. I'm in the garden. I'm sweating away. It's fantastic.
Well, that's the whole point. You know, the occasional sweat, I think we all, I don't know whether we enjoy it, but we put up with it. But it was pretty hard to do anything. I was cleaning the pool.
Hold on. You just said it was pretty hard to do anything. Bob, I know you. I know you don't do anything at home. I try not to. You got the wine going. You probably watched a little bit of golf.
Yep, that's true.
You probably watched a little basketball. You probably watched a little hockey. And then you watched the Jays.
Yeah.
So I went to my neighbors too.
So for
you to sit here and say, yes, I didn't want to do very much. Bob, that's no different than any day.
Well, but I had to skim the pool because this spring, as you may know,
pollen levels are awful.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
And all the little leaves are flying off my 1,000 trees around the house. And they all funnel right into the swimming pool. And the basket gets full. And that takes too long. So I'm skimming the pool yesterday.
I tell you what, get rid of the house then. Just get rid of it.
Too late. I already got rid of it.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm having second thoughts about putting a pool in the new place.
No way.
We'll cross that bridge when we can. Well, you don't have one.
No, I know. But I would be the only one to use it. You know, we don't invite people over. You know, we're hermits.
Well,
Mickey's although you'll be invited a hermit. Over. You'll be invited over, Bob.
Oh, sure. Yeah. After 30 years. Yeah. Okay.
No, but when you're in the neighborhood, you'll be invited over.
Well, I don't even know where you live. I mean,
well, it's a secret.
People think that, you know, we're close friends. And the truth of the matter is that's the furthest thing from the truth.
It's all an illusion. It's smoke
I invite marriage. John to my place and John comes over.
Or even worse, John just shows up.
Or just shows up.
Yeah.
I've never had an invitation to his place.
No. That's right. We don't never. Do that. No. That's not true. You were invited. Robert, that's not true now.
Come on. You're going to tell me you actually invited me?
I invited you for Thanksgiving dinner last year.
I have no recollection of that, John, but I was having my own Thanksgiving dinner.
You were invited to Canadian Thanksgiving.
I thank you for that invitation, and I'm sorry I couldn't make it. But
finally, in June, you send a thank you note.
John, I'm alone, but I'm not that alone. we were supposed to have a guest on this.
We're not talking about that. We're not.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not.
We're not. I am.
Don't.
Well, I already tweeted it out.
You did?
I tweeted out that Bill Daly, when you informed me that Bill Daly was going to be on the show today, I thought, well, that's a big name. I'm going to tweet that out as a promo.
I guess I should follow that.
And then I was informed that Daly has pulled the shoot and will have to be rescheduled.
Rescheduled for Friday.
We're sympathetic. We understand.
He's a little busier than you and me. He doesn't have to skim his pool, but he's a little busier than you or me.
Well, when Bettman calls, Daly answers. We get that.
Correct.
So, no, I'm not being critical of him. I like Bill. But then I had to put out a tweet saying, oops, sorry. So, for those of you that have tuned in accidentally or otherwise to see or listen to Bill Daly, you won't have that opportunity today.
Some pretty good stories, too, coming up that we're going to have to get Bill onto because, I mean, obviously the federal government has decided to allow the Canadian team to cross the border and come back without quarantining, allow the American team to come up here that Winnipeg or Montreal will play. And but they're gonna have to live in the bubble, private charters and the whole thing, but so that the Canadian team can play in its own arena in the next round.
Well,
you have a problem with that?
The problem I have with it is if it's good for the goose, why isn't it good for the gander?
Which is the gander?
Baseball.
Oh, I listen, I'm sure Mark Shapiro has made the phone call too. Well, and is working hard for it.
Well, really? I mean, you're sure he's doing that? How come the hockey pucks got it done? This wasn't just the prime minister or somebody else who's a hockey fan who said, okay, let's do this.
This is the chief medical officer.
They campaigned for it.
They work hard for it. Yeah, they worked hard.
At the end of the day, if you're going to do this for hockey, what is the difference with a baseball team? What is the difference?
That's a great question. I don't know. Other than the fact that the NHL's quarantine rules that have been put in place across Canada and through the league, there's a little bit of a different system and a style of the quarantining rules and the bubble rules.
Well,
for Major League Baseball,
then take those things and say, okay, baseball, if you're willing to do this, then you can come.
Yeah,
but.
And I noticed the Blue Jays have extended their stay in Buffalo to July 21st now. But I'm optimistic that they will actually play some home games in Toronto in August. So,
well, they ought to be playing games before August if this crazy government just got off their keisters and put together some kind of plan that works for everybody.
We're getting things under control. And
we're less than
600 cases in Ontario yesterday.
Yeah, you put everybody in prison for 2 months and basically you're
sounding like an anarchist. You're not an anarchist. You're just trying to stir the pot.
Well, no, I'm angry. I'm tired of this.
You can play golf.
Nonsense.
You can play golf. On Friday, you'll be able to have a burger and a beer outside on the patio. Things are getting things are getting there. It's better than the alternative of having too many people in ICUs and emergency wards. And you know it.
Well, I mean, there's a limit to everything. If you want to keep us shut down forever, okay, why are you letting hockey teams cross the border? I can't cross the border. If I do, I got to quarantine for 2 weeks. And I got to go to a hotel out on the airport strip if I can get a room.
You have to, they're easy to get a room.
No, they're not. Oh, no, they're not. You are 100% wrong, pal.
I got one.
Well, I have my next door neighbor went to Florida with a business associate. He was told he had to quarantine in the hotel. There were no hotel rooms. The government told him, stay in Florida at your own expense until we can get you a hotel room. How long is that going to take? We have no idea. Mm. So there's the absolute truth. And so you know what they did? They rented, they flew to Buffalo, had a car come and picked across the border and come and pick them up and drive them across the border. And then they quarantined for 2 weeks at home.
Right.
Both of them have had their shots. Maybe you can explain this, the logic of that to me.
I'm not a member of the federal government. So,
well, because there are this whole thing provincially, municipally, federally has been screwed up since day one. And we're supposed to overlook all this stuff while we sit at home and can't go anywhere. Businesses have been decimated. There's more real estate available now in Toronto than ever before.
Not out here.
Well,
you know that.
What do you mean I know that?
You've been out trying to find a house.
Well, not houses. I'm talking about commercial businesses.
Oh, commercial business.
Commercial properties.
Yeah.
There's, you can... The most valuable piece of commercial real estate in this country is Yorkville. There are dozens of commercial properties sitting empty with for rent, for lease signs up. And you know, I know because I've been looking.
Yeah. But that it will come back.
Well, I don't care if it comes back. It didn't have to be destroyed this way. And okay, if it was that important, and I'm willing to accept, you know, we want to be safe, we want to be careful.
Okay, good.
You tell me why the first time people are allowed to go into an enclosed facility en masse in the midst of a lockdown are hockey games in Montreal and then subsequently in Winnipeg? And then why is it the National Hockey League gets to bring teams across the border? You explain that to me. And you explain to me how, if they're going to bring them across the border, they're not going to be subjected to the 2-week quarantine that you and I would be.
Because they're going to be inserted into a bubble. They are going to be in a quarantine world top to bottom anyway.
If that was applicable, John.
Hotel to arena, and everybody's fully vaccinated.
If that was applicable, you should have done it months ago.
I don't think that there was a need. Well, first of all, there wasn't a need to do it months ago. There's a need to do it coming the next round of the playoffs when it comes to hockey, the way it was organized. And let's face it. I think that with the medical advice that the NHL had and the discussions with the chief medical officers of all the provinces and the federal government, I do think that they pinpointed the middle of June, which is when it will be, when things would start to open up.
Pinpoint all they want, but they've closed, shut us down, opened up, got in trouble again, and then shut us down again, at least twice.
Well, but why did they shut us down?
What do they know?
But hold on. What did they shut us down for? Why'd they shut us down?
Because the caseloads went up.
Right. I mean, so you don't think they should have shut us down?
They shouldn't have opened it up.
Oh, see, now you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You're saying shut it down or open it up.
I'm not. I'm saying equal treatment for all. Either it's safe or it's not safe.
You're the biggest capitalist. You're the biggest capitalist ever met. Now you're becoming a socialist on us.
Is it safe or not safe? According
you know, to you know as well NHL as I do.
Thinks, apparently the government thinks the NHL is safe.
No, you know as well as I do. Things have improved in both countries because of vaccination levels. And things like that. That's the issue.
My issue is simply, and I do not want to dwell on this any further, because you are just stubborn.
Oh, and you're the king of conviviality. You know?
Well, I'm reasonable. Oh.
Okay.
Why just hockey? That's all. Nothing more.
And that's a fair question.
Why not other things?
That's a fair question.
And why is the line drawn right there?
Fair question.
And at this point, we don't have the answer to that. We can suspect all we want, but we'll take the break. And to my chagrin, if not John's, we are without a guest today. So he and I will just yammer at each other on a variety of topics here. Don't leave. It might get interesting. Might not. Back after these messages. McCallum here. It's Shannon there.
Oh.
I think it's safe to say that the deep thinking hockey pucks, of which you are one.
It's very kind of you. Is that a compliment?
It's not.
Oh, okay.
Completely misread the Montreal Canadiens. And I do accept and understand that. But here are a few little truths that, quite frankly, I did not pick up on either. But at the beginning of the year, there was no team in the NHL was better than the Montreal Canadiens. No, it could have been just a spurt.
Yep.
But they were great.
Out of the blocks, they were a juggernaut.
They were good. Carey Price gets hurt. Mm-hmm. I would say to you, he is still one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League. And there is no goaltender in the NHL I'd rather start the playoffs with than Carey Price. So then they get the COVID thing and they have to play a bunch of games in a short period of time.
Correct.
And essentially without the goaltender for a good portion of that. And they really don't have a backup.
Jake Allen's a good goaltender. Jake Allen's
okay.
That's right. Yeah, that's okay. Right. Jake Allen.
But he ain't Carey Price.
Jake Allen might subscribe to the podcast, so Jake Allen's okay.
Hi, Jake. How are you? Sorry you're never going to play again for the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, no. I think he's under contract still. So
unless Carey Price gets hurt. Anyway. This team was underrated. the Toronto Maple Leafs, as is always the case, at least in this market, were overrated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, collapsed like a deflated balloon, as they have repeatedly. The shock of Montreal beating Toronto really maybe wasn't that big a shock, or shouldn't have been that big a shock. Maybe we should have said, well, wait a second. Before all hell broke loose in Montreal, this team was playing really well. Now they got their goaltender back. They've had a little bit of rest, not much, but a little bit of rest. And they are not overtly experienced in terms of playoff performances, but they got legs. They can skate. And they'll hit. They have guys that will hit, essentially unlike the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we all know there's a way you play in the playoffs. And the Toronto Maple Leafs were not built.
Yeah. Let's remember that, I mean, it was in Montreal, it was more than just COVID. They did have, and I think more than the Price injury too. I mean, this is a team that, you know, it sounds like ancient history now. This is a team that fired its coach.
Yeah.
Claude Julien was his team was above 500 and something was amiss, that Marc Bergevin felt that they needed to, you know, breathe some new thoughts, new air into the dressing room.
Well, don't you think, sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, I'm not dismissing that as significant. I just wonder whether he looked at the way the team played over the first, I'm going to guess, 15, 20 games.
It was around there.
Mm-hmm. And said, damn it, I put together a pretty good team here. And then all of a sudden they started to skid.
Well, particularly after the start you talked about, Bob. I mean, this was a team, I think it was 7-2-1. And then by the time Claude got fired, they had only won two of their next 12 or 13.
Well, my point being, maybe his level of expectation of the team was raised. And when it appeared as though they may be in a permanent slide into oblivion, he felt like he had to make the six. Now, again, I don't know anything about the relationship between the general manager and the coach. I don't know whether the coach was a good coach or not, whether the players had tuned him out, whether some player was bitching and complaining about, you know, what the coach was doing or his philosophy. I don't know any of that stuff.
Right.
So I can't analyze why. All I do know is they did it. And it didn't really work right away. And they sort of scuffled for the rest of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't barely get into the playoffs, but they went from being in first place to being in fourth place,
mm-hmm.
and look like clearly the weakest of the four by miles. There were, you know, a lot of people like Toronto, a bunch of people like Winnipeg, and there was no shortage of people that said, look out for Edmonton.
Right.
So, but
nobody gave Montreal a chance.
Nobody, not one. And here they are, not only in the second round, but on the verge of sweeping the Winnipeg Jets and winning potentially seven straight games against those two juggernaut teams that were 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a pretty good story. And I'm not certain they're going to get wiped out in the next round.
Well, not now. I thought I was... thinking, it's going to be a
pickup. You thought Winnipeg would destroy them.
I thought Winnipeg would win the series, yeah. I did.
I understand that, John.
From a Montreal perspective, their young players, you know, Kakimeni, Suzuki, even Caulfield, have really provided a breath of new blood, an injection of new blood into their lineup. I actually wondered last night. Corey Perry scores a goal after an unbelievable forecheck in game three. And I actually wondered, was he 36 or 26? Corey Perry, who's playing for his salary was, you know, $750,000, has been a really good story in Montreal, to the point where I find Marc Bergevin, I'm going to try to sign him for two more years. If he wants to play there.
And is it true that this is a guy who wanted to play for the Toronto?
Wanted to play for the Maple Leafs.
And they said no.
They had certain amount of slots open, and they chose to sign Wayne Simmonds ahead of signing Corey Perry.
Does that make any sense to you?
Well, but it's all subjective at that point. I mean, Simmonds was probably, they're about the same age. Maybe Wayne might be a little younger. Both of them, were on the downside.
Simmonds has nowhere near the historic credence.
Oh no, Perry does. Let's face it, Perry's a Stanley Cup champion. You know, Corey Perry has been
10, top 15 player in the NHL for most.
He won the Hart Trophy.
Simmonds is just a guy. He's just a guy.
I think there was a belief that he was tougher than Perry.
Well, I think he is.
And the Maple Leafs needed to try to find a way to be a little more physical. It just becomes the difference between you liking red wine or white wine. You don't want, what's that?
It's nothing like that at all.
Why can't you acknowledge that
in hindsight, it was a colossal blunder?
Yeah, it was a mistake. Absolutely. But, at a certain point, you know, these managers, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day, particularly in this country. General managers get put on such pedestals that general managers get thought that they're actually, they think they're smarter, and lots of people around them think they're smarter, and lots of fans think they're smarter. But in the end, it's the choice. So it becomes subjective choices. And I like this guy more than this guy. I disagree. I like that guy the other way. And in the end, it becomes personal preferences. Kyle Dubas obviously felt that Wayne Simmonds would provide something that Corey Perry couldn't. And that's why he went and signed Wayne Simmonds rather than Corey Perry.
So the other thing that Dubas did, you don't think Dubas is going to get fired?
No, not at all.
If you were the general manager, or if you were the president, you can't be the general manager and fire him because he's the general manager. If you were the president, would you?
No, but I would. I would go in and say, "Hey, listen, what is our plan?"
Well, you should know what the plan is.
Okay, so
conversation.
What I would be doing though this week. What I'd be doing this week is... Okay,
what's our new plan?
How are we changing the plan? And what is our new... what was our new plan? Because, they've committed dollars. What's that?
That plan didn't work. So what's your new idea?
Yeah, I'll give him one more chance. I'll give him one more chance.
Why? I mean, I hear that all the time. I'm not...
Because I do think that there are, you can't discount the regular season that they have and say, well, they're just a blunder.
Yeah, I can.
I know you can, but if you were the president of the club, you couldn't.
Oh yes, because I could.
Because you can't be that emotional, Bob.
Dubas tied the noose around his own neck. He made it clear we're going for it.
Yeah. But who let
didn't
who
do that? Who let that the franchise?
Okay, so in fairness to Kyle, because I like Kyle, who let the franchise down more, Kyle or the players?
Who let who down more?
Who let the franchise down more, Kyle or the players?
Well, I think the answer is clear.
The players.
No, Kyle.
You think Kyle did?
Put together a team that doesn't work. You want to win a Stanley Cup, you got to play.
You couldn't predict John Tavares gets hit in the head. You couldn't predict that.
What happens during the regular season is of zero consequence if you don't have a team that is capable of playing those 16 games.
You're firing Kyle Dubas.
Are you asking me if I was the president, would I do that?
Yeah.
I'd have him right in here in this office as sitting across the desk from me, and I'd say, all right, you screwed up.
Don't know.
How are you going to fix this?
Oh, no, hold on. No,
I don't hear. No. If I don't hear what I want to hear.
Oh, that's different. That's different. So you're basically saying what I said. Tell me the plan, and then we'll decide what's going on.
No, you didn't say that. You said you wouldn't fire him. You'd give him another year.
Yeah, well, will you give him another year?
I wouldn't. I said, I want to know, like, how do you explain this curious thing of giving $40 million to four guys, all of whom are highly skilled players. Sorry?
You think Kyle did that by himself? You don't think Brendan was in on that?
well, maybe then if you're Brendan, you should be looking in the mirror. I don't know what he did. All I do know is that Brendan Shanahan was not a dancer. He was a scrapper.
We've talked about this a multitude of times.
And you're going to tell me that a scrapper endorsed, recommended, suggested, let's go get four pretty boys and let them skate around as fast as they can and score goals?
Yep. Well, He endorsed it.
He endorsed it, but it wasn't his idea.
Listen.
No, he endorsed the general manager that he selected.
They are joined at the hip.
Which may have been the mistake in the first place.
Well, they are joined at the hip. I mean, the moment Brendan decided, let's go back a couple years. Maybe what it would be? Three. Let's go back 3 years, Bob. You know, you're the president. You're sitting at the desk. You've got two guys on the other side of the desk from you there. It's a lovely desk, by the way.
Who's the other two guys? Who's the guys across?
Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, and?
Lou Lamoriello.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Brendan made it. Brendan obviously made a choice.
Wrong choice.
He made a choice to side with.
Wrong choice.
Kyle over Lou.
Wrong choice.
Okay. So to think that Brendan's not is going to sit there and say, I'm going to let you spend $40 million on your own. That's not true. Brendan and Kyle are joined at the hip. They are in this together. They are combados, to use a word that you love.
Kumbados. And the truth of the matter is you cannot sit there and say that your expectation would be that if Lou was still here, the Maple Leafs would be where they are right now. First of all, he would not have signed four guys to $40 million contracts. He's never played that way. He doesn't believe in that. He believes in having fiscal responsibility, and he understands that in the playoffs, you better be ready to grind and work hard. And pretty boys get shut down easily. Just like the pretty boy in Colorado is being shut down now by Las Vegas.
Okay, so before we get to the Vegas series, let's talk about that. Lou, if John Tavares had not signed in Toronto by Kyle Dubas, he was signing with Lou Lamoriello for about the same amount of money, if not more, on Long Island.
Yeah, but
so he does. He would have signed a big ticket guy. He would have signed him. He would the deal that Austin Matthews.
Wait a second.
The only guy that's the two guys that are in question for you that were the signings were Mitch Marner and William Nylander. Those are the two signings that you might suggest. I think that Lou Lamoriello would not have done.
Actually, well, I don't know how Lou would have felt about Marner.
He liked Marner as a player.
I like Marner as a player.
Yeah.
I think I could make the argument that until this year, I thought Marner was better than Matthews. I thought he was more valuable. Not better. More valuable.
What do you think now?
I got a lot of questions about Marner.
So do I.
But I'll tell you, I've said repeatedly, Nylander was a guy I would have said, you know, go get lost. And not because I don't like Nylander, and not because he isn't talented, but he is more of a one-way guy, and he's not a great distributor of the puck.
Oh, he's a good passer, Bob. He's a good passer.
He's a selfish player. He's always looking for his shot first. But that's not it. He's a $4 million guy in my world. He's not a $7 million guy. And Dubas caved. After allowing him to sit out for a long period of time, he ultimately caved. And he wound up with $40 million in payroll among four guys. And all that does, John, is tie your hands behind your back.
Oh, that's good. That's good on the YouTube show there, the way you did that.
He did it to himself.
No, I understand.
Because he was enamored with building. He thought he could build a team that was all about speed and skill.
Yes.
And he ignored the defense. Ignored it.
I don't think he ignored it.
Until last year. No. He ignored it. Who did he bring in?
Well, he thought he was bringing Tyson Barrie in was going to be an answer. And it proved to be an unmitigated disaster because Tyson Barrie, the player, and Mike Babcock, the coach, couldn't be on the same page.
He had a young, inexperienced, and under-talented defense. And he chose to spend all his money up front. Now, in principle, I love scoring.
But I know, you told us last week you want 8-7 rather than 2-1.
Yeah. Well, then all I need is Grant Fuhr as my goaltender, and then that's how I can win.
Don't go there.
Because I know he's going to give up seven.
We're going to give Grant Fuhr on the show one day.
That's okay. I like Grant.
Why? Does he give you strokes or something?
I just don't understand. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
are you kidding me?
You're probably in the Hockey Hall of Fame. For all I know, I might be in the Hockey
Hall. I can get you in the Hockey Hall of Fame for $8.
Well, no thanks. Because there are too many guys that don't deserve to be there, and I'm not going to go look at
the pictures. Don't go there. Let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche. Come on.
Oh, now you want to change gears.
Yeah. Well, because I'm tired of talking about the Maple Leafs.
They better be prepared to make some significant changes.
Well, I think Brendan,
if they're going to run this, if they're going to run this play just over and over and over again.
Well, there's one more kick at the can of this group. Kick at the can.
Why are you giving them one more kick at the can? They've had four kicks at the can with this essential group. Four.
Because there's always
five.
Because I think they deserve it after.
What deserve it for what?
They deserve it after the regular season they had.
Who
gives
a flying fadoo about the regular season? Not even you.
I think you have to do that. You have to look at this. This was a team during the regular season at times, Bob, looked like the best team in hockey. I mean, that's and they as you admitted it, they won the North with ease. You know,
I'm not a fool. I can see what happened. And yet when they got to the playoffs, they had none of the things that
they didn't have grit
to have.
They had
in
no
the
grit.
Playoffs.
They had no grit. No grit, none whatsoever. And listen, if you listen to what Brendan said last week, he talked about we needed people that hated to lose and needed to be grittier.
I'm gonna
give you one more chance, Kyle. You have to modify your plan.
I'm not.
No, you of course you did. You've already said 10 minutes ago you're going to have Kyle at the desk and you're going to say, I want to hear the new plan.
Yeah, and then I'm going to say you're fired because he's not going to tell me what I want to hear.
He might. He might. Because Brendan's already said what he wants to hear.
Well, I can tell Kyle this is what you need to say to me, but I don't want that from my general manager. I don't want a general manager skulking around with his tail between his legs after he failed miserably in a plan that he himself put together. And at the same time, I'm not real happy with Shanahan because he let the most experienced general manager walk out the door. Now, you know I like Lou Lamoriello, and I love the fact that he comes on this program.
Yep.
Am I friends with Lou Lamoriello? No, I'm not. I've met him, but I've got no love affair for Lou Lamoriello. All I have to do is look at what he's done. Look at what he's done over the course of his career. And if you think there's any point in Kyle Dubas's life where he's going to have a record comparable to Lou Lamoriello's, you got another thing coming. So you got the real deal who started to put the pieces together, but maybe told you what you didn't want to hear. And he gets shuffled out the door. And his team on Long Island, who hasn't had no business being any good.
What do you mean they got no business being any good?
Did they have the assets the Toronto Maple Leafs had? Does he have the budget that the Toronto Maple Leafs have?
They have the budget.
They were us when Lou went there. They had been nomads. They didn't have a home.
Yeah, but the new arena, the whole Barclays thing was a disaster and was rectified before Lou showed up.
Well, just before
they were going there. Yeah, but just I mean, we are talking the owner of the majority owner of the New York Islanders has more money than everybody but Bezos, I think. Come on.
Well, how about Rogers and Bell put together? Has he got more money than those two?
Probably not.
Probably not.
But hey, listen, if you the telecoms, they don't, you know what the telecoms want to do. They just want to protect their assets of content. That's all they want.
The New York Islanders were dogs with fleas when Lou got there. And he quickly turned them around. And not with a bunch of superstars. They were dogs with fleas with Tavares. And they lost their best player that he had to replace. Look at he did in Long Island what he's done his entire career.
Well, you know, listen, you don't have to, you don't have to promote Lou to me. I mean, you know, I'm a Lou fan.
I
know
I don't.
But
I mean, the general manager of this team has clearly made mistakes. And the president of this team made at least one big one. And I'm not overtly sympathetic. I think you should give guys a chance. But it's not forever.
Yeah.
4 years in a row, the fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs have had to put up with an instant exit from the playoffs. And they, you know, there's been lots of time during these 50 years where the Maple Leafs had crappy teams and there was no real expectation. There was hope, but there was no real expectation.
That's right.
There was real expectation.
Oh, yeah.
Real, not hope, commitment, expectation. This team wasn't just supposed to.
And who gave them the expectation and the hope?
Well, you sign guys and promote that this is how you're going to do it and that you can win a cup with these guys. Maple Leaf fans are all ears to that notion.
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing to dismiss the disaster of losing to Columbus last year as some kind of a fluke.
Yeah. Well, and every team that lost did that, by the way.
Well,
Year in the bubble. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. I'm not sitting here saying it wasn't a fluke, but they didn't really make the playoffs. They had to go into a play-in thing to get into the playoffs. And then this year, in a year almost as weird as last year,
mm-hmm.
but it lasted the whole season,
yeah,
playing only against six other teams, never crossing the border, never seeing how good they were against any of the top teams in the NHL. Because the top teams in the NHL have not come from Canada for a long time. If you were going to list the top five teams in the NHL.
Oh, no. Listen, I can't argue with you, Bob.
None of them would have been Canadian.
I mean, the last team to win the Stanley Cup in Canada, 1993.
Montreal Canadiens.
We have had teams from Canada go to the Stanley Cup final since then, but not many. And none of them, by the way, the Maple Leafs. None of them, the Maple Leafs.
So the Maple Leafs finish with, I forget how many points, 75, 77, something like that. Colorado and Vegas finished 80. Virtually the same.
Yeah.
They're still playing. And if they weren't playing each other, they'd be playing each other in the next round. And if they didn't have to play in that round, they'd be playing each other in the Stanley Cup final because they probably are the two best teams in the NHL. One legitimately and the other one because the media has adopted them.
No, where's your shirt?
The new San Jose Sharks. It's upstairs. I can't drag it out for you.
You better take a break.
Are we going to come back?
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Yep.
All right. Shannon has ordered a break as the executive producer of the program in his own mind.
Promoted.
I do what I...
No, you don't. You do not do what you're told. Get out of here.
I did not finish that sentence.
No, because I had to interrupt.
I realized whence I was going and determined that to lie about it would be unjustified and inopportune, among other things. All right, we'll come back after these messages. We're back, or you're back, as the case may be.
I haven't gone anywhere.
Not you, the audience.
Oh,
I can see that you're not back. You're back. You haven't moved.
Yeah,
much to my chagrin.
So your Golden Knights back on the track, huh?
Well, they're pretty good. And, you know, I just hate to keep saying it over and over again, but everybody loved Colorado at the beginning of these playoffs.
Even after game one.
Well, after game one was easy, you know. But before game one of this series, before the playoffs started, no team was picked by more media numbskulls than the Colorado Avalanche. And how long did the pattern of everybody picking the San Jose Sharks last? 5 years?
Oh, they were flavor of the year for a long time.
Flavor of a decade.
Yeah, maybe.
And won
nothing. And got to how many Stanley Cup finals?
None.
One.
Oh, did they get to one?
2016, I think. Yeah.
Thank you. And what's happened over the last couple of games is that, well, you can argue the last three games. First game, wipeout. Reason, Vegas played a tough seven-game series. Colorado was resting. Number two, they put Leonard in goal instead of their best goaltender,
Fleury.
And he stunk the joint out.
Yeah. But I would, and I'll quite frankly, I would have done that too. If I was Peter DeBoer, I would have done it.
I don't think I would have, but I understand that theory.
Yeah. I mean, you needed to, two things. First of all, you needed to give Fleury a rest after playing the seven games. Mm-hmm. And then you also needed to probably give Leonard a bit of action just in case you needed him at some point in the series.
Well, I'll tell you what. You better need him because you're not going to want to put him back in. If Fleury gives up 15 goals in a game, I'm not putting Leonard back in.
You're not?
Well, he stunk.
It wasn't that bad.
He was. And anyway, they got smoked in game one.
Yeah, they did.
Since then,
smoked.
Have they been outplayed in a single period of hockey in the last three games?
I think
maybe period one of game two.
And I think the shots on goal since the end of that first period in game two, I think the shots are 3-1 for Vegas.
For Vegas?
For Vegas, yeah. Vegas has been really, in so many ways, has been such a dominant team.
This is a team supposed to, this is Colorado Avalanche, supposed to win the cup.
Yeah.
Cruise control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most dangerous player, most dangerous line in the National Hockey League.
Well, they're
eliminated.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing, Bob, and this is one of those ones where you have to wonder what the heck is going on behind the scenes. So they go to Vegas for game three, lose a tight game. It's a tight game.
Yeah.
But Vegas wins.
Shouldn't have been, but it was.
Right. Vegas wins. Jared Bednar, the coach of the Avalanche, just spews venom about his own players. They had only lost one game in the playoffs. They have won the President's Trophy, and he's all over them for one game. In 2021, I don't think that works anymore. I think players are, and sensitive is not the right word, but players are aware of what's going on. Players don't really respond well to the famous dressing down anymore.
Well,
I think if they lose this series, I think people are going to point to, what did Bednar do that?
Well, they will, because all you hockey pucks think that Colorado is the best team in the National Hockey League.
Well, they haven't won a game.
Somebody else's fault.
Well,
it can't be the players.
Well, no, because we didn't blame the players for the Maple Leafs.
And I don't know the Colorado guys from Adam, so I can't measure that heart from a distance.
Well, Nathan, you know as well as I do, Nathan McKinnon's, you know, he's got heart. I think Gabriel Landeskog and
Mikael Rantanen. I don't know that. He's got talent.
Yeah,
talent I can see. Yeah. Heart, I cannot see. Here's what I will tell you. This Vegas team consistently has demonstrated heart from year one, whatever the reason was. And that roster has been overturned, what would you say, John?
A bit.
70%?
Maybe 60%. There's still some guys that were there for year one, from year one.
There's a few. Still,
yeah. Yeah.
There's a few.
But they have been unafraid.
Unafraid to change.
To make change.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's George or Kelly, they've been unafraid to make change. That's right.
And somehow they've gotten guys with, and I hate this word.
Oh, here we go.
You can't hold it in your hand, character. You can't hold it in your hand. You can't describe it. You can't judge it, really. You can, but you can't from afar. And yeah. I don't pretend to know, but they're tough. They're resistant.
They're big. They're a bigger team too, Bob. They're bigger than Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, and Alec, the guys that were there from the beginning have made a difference. Yeah, you're right.
Look, at game five is back in Denver, and maybe the Avalanche steamroll Vegas again, and maybe they even win it in six. I guess it's possible. But right now, it looks like these are two teams heading in opposite directions. And Vegas looks prepared to steamroll Colorado.
Yeah, although, you know, that third period last night or the other night in Vegas was it was one where it was a tight game until the crowd got into it.
It was 3-1. It was a tight game sort of on the scoreboard, but it was not a tight game territorially. Yeah. Yeah. And did you ever think that, Vegas is in trouble?
Never. No.
Not for a second.
Not once. No. And when you look, Mark Stone to me is, I think Mark Stone's one of the most entertaining players in the game on so many levels. First of all, he can shoot the puck. He's great defensively, but I love him for his emotion and I love him for that. You know, he will sacrifice anything. He will yell anything. He
plays that way.
And well, I think it's rubbed off. I really do. It's rubbed off on not so goes. Cause one of the other guys, I would tell you that when he got there, I think he was a selfish player. I really do. I think he was a selfish player.
Oh,
but I'm getting to that point. But I think he's bought in, and that's Max Pacioretty. I think Pacioretty, when he in Montreal, I think Max, and you know, we're going to have Alan Walsh's agent on next week. We can talk about this. But I think Pacioretty has grown up a ton in Vegas. And he's become a team first guy. There were lots of accusations when he was in Montreal that he was a player first guy. He was me first guy. He's played so well in Vegas with Mark Stone. And when you have more than one guy leading by example, boy, oh boy, oh boy, they're fun to watch. Alex Pietrangelo, tremendous. And, you know, we talked about him right at the beginning. Is there anybody with bigger heart, with bigger character than Marc-Andre Fleury? I don't think so.
Well,
They got lots of them.
We all get sucked in. We got to take a break, but we all get sucked into superstars and or whatever variation of that phrase word you want to use. But take a look at the guys who you would think were the best players in the National Hockey League. Marner and Matthews, the Edmonton guys. Yeah,
Draisaitl and McDavid.
The Pittsburgh guys.
Sid Malkin.
And maybe now the Colorado guys. And three of those teams are out already.
Mm-hmm.
And another one may be ready to fall. We fall in love with individual excellence and achievement, especially during a regular season. But teams that succeed have something special.
And I know you've heard me say this before. To me, the biggest difference between this sport and the other three big sports in North America, this is the ultimate team sport. This is the ultimate team sport where, you know, Tom Brady can drag his team to a championship. You know, look what Kawhi's doing with the Clippers, getting them out of trouble. This is, you know, big players in the NHL play 20, 22 minutes out of a 60 minute game. This is the ultimate team sport. 17 of the top.
Why don't they play 60 minutes? Why don't you just have one line?
Hey, by the way,
you're good, right?
Speaking of that, did you see the 3-on-3 overtime yesterday at the World Hockey Championships? They played overtime 3-on-3.
Yeah, I saw the goal. I didn't see much more. I just saw the highlight of it.
Talk about a team with character. That's a story there, boy.
Well, I've never seen that. I've never seen a team.
Never happened before.
Yeah, lose their first three games.
Yeah.
And look horrible.
Never happened before.
It is absolutely shocking that they came back and won that thing. And I applaud them. I absolutely do. Yeah. But wow, that was shocking. We got to take the break. We'll come back and wrap this thing up. Not a moment too soon, I'm sure. After these messages. So the Toronto Blue Jays lose 2 out of 3 to Houston. And
including a 13-1 debacle. Doesn't matter. Doesn't bother you?
No, not at all. You take a look at every great team and they've got their doors blown off them 2 or 3 times.
You're not suggesting the Jays are a great team, though, are you?
No, I'm not. Okay. But great teams. Yeah, it happens. It's a baseball thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, winning 3-2 every night is, it's not a formula for anything. Winning every hockey game 2-1 is a formula. You know, the team's playing defense first. Mm-hmm. Or 7-6 like Edmonton, you know, they're playing offense first. And they probably have a crappy goaltender. But in baseball, it's a completely different set of circumstances because you got different pitchers every night, right? And you don't know whether the guy's got it, doesn't got it. Mm-hmm. Look at Ryu the other night.
Yeah.
You know, he was a starter in that 13-1 game, right?
I know. Yeah, he was.
You know, you'd have bet $1 million against him getting knocked around.
Well, the two games they lost in Houston were Ryu and Mats. And Mats has been pretty good.
Mats has been pretty good, but he hasn't been as good in his last four or five starts as he was in his first four or five.
You're right.
So I'm starting to wonder whether that was a bit of a mirage.
Well, he got them through give him credit. He got them through some bumpy section of the schedule.
I'm not slamming them.
Yeah.
But look at, in 1977, the Blue Jays had a pitcher went 5-0 in April. I think he was pitcher of the month.
Who's that, Jerry Garvin?
Jerry Garvin.
Yeah.
Jerry Garvin couldn't break a pane of glass with his fastball. Oh. Jerry Garvin's fastball was at about 82 miles an hour.
Yeah. That's with the wind at Exhibition Stadium.
And Jerry Garvin was gone as fast as he got there.
Sure he was.
But for his first five games, lights out.
Okay. Now there's half of our audience are on Google and they're trying to Google Jerry Garvin. Never heard of him. No, don't care.
Well, I mean, then they share that with me because I don't care.
You just brought it up.
I don't care that they don't care. I brought it up because you answered the question. So obviously to us, it was important. And if we are not here to enjoy our conversation, then what are we here for?
Is that what this is called?
Whatever this is.
Okay.
The fact that it might be entertaining is of no consequence to me. If I don't like it, I'm not going to do it.
Duly noted.
Thank you. Now, where was I?
Oh, you're saying goodbye. Aren't you saying goodbye?
Say again.
Aren't you saying goodbye?
Yes, eventually.
Okay.
So Springer is, they say, close. And they're going to send him to where are they going to send them? He can't send them to Buffalo. They are
Trenton. Trenton.
Yeah, I know that, but that's, you can't say we're going to send him to Trenton.
Why not?
Well, because they don't have a team in Trenton.
That's where their team is.
That's a rental.
Well, but they're going to send him to Trenton for now.
Well, all right, but they might, if they're on the road at Rochester or Syracuse or someplace, then they'll send them there, and you wouldn't say that. You can't say we're going to send him to Trenton. Anyway, the Buffalo.
I'll tell you, I will believe it. I will believe George Springer's in the lineup when I see it.
I'll give you that much. But here's the interesting thing. When Springer blew his quad, hammy, whatever the hell it was, both maybe.
Wasn't there a pectoral muscle issue too?
I don't know, Joe.
No? Okay.
Right. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think there was both leg issues, but
okay.
I guess I could be wrong. As rare as that would be. But there was some panic about how the outfield was going to be. You know what? Outfield looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And but now all of a sudden you're going to sit somebody who doesn't deserve to sit.
But before the season started though, Bob, there was more discussion of who you're going to dump. Like, you got an outfield, who are you going to dump? That was the bigger conversation. Or who is going to sit or who's going to DH? It wasn't a question of that's a bad outfield. It's that somebody's going to have to be replaced by Springer.
Well, we know Davis was not going to make the roster.
Right.
That we know.
But, and I mean, when you looked at Teoscar and all those other guys, I mean, that was...
Well, it was Teoscar was going to play.
Sure.
Teoscar has earned his right.
And Randall Grichuk was going to play, wasn't he?
No, Grichuk, I think, was the odd man out, potentially. Although Gurriel was iffy. Well, don't you think Grichuk has earned the right to play every day?
Totally. I think he's been great.
Gurriel is hot and cold. But we've seen some throws from him that have been like otherworldly. And he's starting to hit a bit. Mm-hmm. And Teoscar is still over 300.
It's a good problem to have now.
Well, and at the trade deadline is, well, I was going to say it's upcoming. Well, it is upcoming. Everything is upcoming. That's not, hasn't happened yet, but it's still a ways away.
And, well, this, and
yes,
this
they're going to look. They're going to look for starting pitching because that's the most obvious need, and they won't get any.
Yeah,
because nobody trades anybody any good. They'll get a bunch of used, you know, machine parts that they can throw in the rotation, but
right,
it won't mean anything. And they need a third baseman.
Yeah.
Although I'd play panic there every day until further notice.
Okay. Well, we'll pass that on.
Well, thank you. And I gather you have nothing else to say about this team.
No, because the frustration is that we're three games away from the famous 60 game mark, and you know, teams, you make an adjustment, we'll figure out where we are at 60 games. And but then when your ace acquisition hasn't played a sniff, then you're gonna try yourself another 30 games based on, well, let's see what happens when Springer gets back.
No,
when Springer plays.
I don't think so.
I mean, we know they need starting pitching. We know they need.
You know, all it means is you probably aren't going to trade Grichuk or Gurriel. And that may be a card they have to play.
I don't think they can until they know.
Well, but it
ever.
May be a card they have can. To play because they got nobody really other than Panic, who is a really good, solid veteran major league player.
Mm-hmm.
Third base is not his preferred position. He's a middle infielder, really. And he doesn't have, even though he hit a home run the other night, it was like a 361-foot home run over a 360-foot wall. He doesn't have the power, really, that you want in a third baseman. That's the piece they're missing in the infield, at least. And pitching, but you can't get pitching. So
Right.
All right. Would you like to tell the audience who's on tomorrow?
Bob Ryan's on tomorrow.
Or should we surprise them?
No, Bob Ryan's on tomorrow.
What would you like to discuss with him?
I want to know why.
You want to know about the Celtics, right?
I want to know about the Celtics.
You're obsessed with the Celtics.
I am. Well, because I think that what they did was silly. He doesn't care about the Bruins, so that's okay. That's what DuPont does for us. And then I want to know what he thinks of what should happen with Kawhi, and maybe Kawhi comes back to Toronto. Maybe he'll give us an answer that might make some sense.
Are you on crack? You actually think Kawhi Leonard might come back to Toronto? Based on what?
I didn't say that. I said we should ask the question.
There's no chance of that happening. That is a waste of good air.
Okay. So we'll talk to Bob about everything other than that tomorrow.
Fine.
Okay.
Don't waste air and time on that stupid question. Is Kawhi going to come
back? I guarantee you, though, it's going to come up. So,
well, it'll only come up if you bring it up. And I'm imploring you not to.
Okay, I won't.
It'll make us look stupid and weak. He's gone. Forget about him.
He's got no heart.
Nothing.
Oh, now you're looking like Matthew McConaughey. You're looking like Matthew McConaughey.
Big empty space. All right. Thank you for tolerating this nonsense for as long
You're
as
welcome.
You have.
You're welcome. I appreciate
Not
it.
Not you.
Oh.
For John Shannon, Bob McCown, we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.